Chaitanamanavistam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadaminam dhavati svapantikam vandeham sigurau sita padakamune shri gurun vaishnavascha shri rupam sadrajatam sahaganaradhanatam vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanyadevam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Narita Sri Sarkam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tanta Rakata Namastute Jatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Visavani Sudhevi Pramani Hari Priye Vanchakalpatagriyacha Kripa Sangeyacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Radha Srivasavi Gopalabhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the scriptures it is stated that the spiritual master is at the time of diction in imparting transcendental knowledge to the disciple. Okay. It is this transcendental knowledge that is the most important aspect, in the sense that the spiritual master can do many things. The spiritual master gives us inspiration. The spiritual master is, by his presence and instructions, lifting us up to a higher platform than we would act upon in our own. If we would simply practice spiritual life all by ourselves, then we would try to the best of our ability to follow Krishna's directions. But when we follow spiritual life according to the directions of the spiritual master, he will say, no, not like this, like that. And in that way, we immediately are lifted up, just as going up in a skyscraper. If we would go by the stairs, that would be our own effort. But the spiritual master takes us into the lift and just up to the 20th floor, all like that. And then we're back on the stairs until the next time he takes us in the lift. So, in this way, we should understand that the directions of the spiritual master are very important, because it is there that we can become firmly fixed in spiritual life. The time of initiation is when we are the first initiation, we're making a firm commitment, and we are being initiated in the process for going back to Godhead. That is the idea. So at the time of initiation we are really fixing that going back to Godhead is our priority in life. There are other things. We have still a material body. We still have needs according to the particular body that we have and the age that we have. We have different requirements in the material world, and we may desire many things. We may feel the need for protection and shelter. So all these things are there, and that is also to be taken care of, but it is secondary. What comes first is really is going back to Godhead, and that is the very purpose of this initiation. And the idea is to go back to Godhead in this life. That requires a sacrifice. It's not coming automatically. It requires that we are serious and give preference to devotional service and to following the directions of Krishna. Krishna is very kind and merciful, and the spiritual master is representing Krishna. So by now in serving Krishna, we will offer our service through our spiritual master. He will speak, and through him the desire of Krishna is manifesting. So we make our offering through him, and then the mercy of Krishna comes back down, and that is how it works. So it's not just that, well, what is authorized in devotional service, that I can do. Well, one can do. One can offer milk, one can offer juice, one can offer water. But if the spiritual master says water, then it's water. Like that. Then that is the best. That is what Krishna desires. So in that way, it is a life of commitment, of serious commitment. At the same time, it is susukam kartamaviyam, it is joyfully performed, because devotional service is very nice. And with each step, we are becoming free from the entanglement of material existence. So in that way, it's a happy moment. It is a positive moment. It's very nice, actually, what's happening. Not that it's always easy, but we can make it easier. We can make it much easier. These vows that we are taking will remain. They will remain. The first initiation is actually the most important, because at the time of the first initiation we are making the sambandha, we're making the connection. That's really the turning point. The second initiation, though, is making that initiation more complete. Whereas at the first initiation we're making the commitment to now dedicate our life to Krishna. In the second initiation, it's not only that we say, from now on, Krishna, I will be yours, but it is also, we begin to behave more and more according to the desires of Krishna. And the second initiation is meant for that. It is meant that we follow the scriptures very strictly, and that we know the scriptures. according to our capacity, you know what I mean? Different people have been granted with Krishna with a different capacity to know the scriptures. And one time I was in New York, and I met Pradyumna, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor for the Bhagavatam. who lives there in New York in our temple. And I was at the time studying the Nectar of Devotion and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I was reading the commentaries. So I began to, I thought, well, you know, I'm becoming a bit of a scholar now. Right? And then I spoke with him. And I asked him, well, what do you, there was an English translation of a commentary. So I said, well, what do you think of this translation of Jiva Goswami's commentary? He says, yeah, I think generally it's quite okay. It's quite okay. He said, but then again, just by reading that commentary, you can't understand it. He said, because there are commentaries on the commentaries, and there are commentaries on those commentaries, and actually with the Nectar of Devotion, it goes five layers deep. And then he started quoting. You see, it says in this commentary, and in that commentary it says, and then he started quoting left and right, and I realized, I'm not a scholar, I'll never be a scholar, I don't know anything, you know, I'm just a simple person, but I like to read Prabhupada's books and understand them. Because whenever I do read Prabhupada's books, I'm experiencing that immediately I'm off the mental platform. When I'm not reading Prabhupada's books, that's where I am, on the mental platform. Somehow or other, Prabhupada's books have this potency to lift us up immediately. As soon as we open them up and we start reading, up to the transcendental platform. So this is important, quite important. The other day I met this older lady, she was a devotee and initiated, and she looked old and frail. It looked like she didn't have so much energy. And I thought, yeah, she won't be able to do much service. But then somehow or other I spoke about reading, and she said, oh yes, I like to read. She says, yes, I am reading, yes. And then she started to say what she was reading, and she was really seriously reading. So that is very nice. Let the scripture be with us in our life, because the scripture will make it meaningful. Otherwise, we are taking vows, but we don't understand the depth of the vows, and therefore we don't know how to give meaning to them. To give a contemporary example, it's something like you have this very powerful computer, but you're too lazy to read the manual, right? You get this whole manual with it, and too lazy to read it. And all you do with this powerful thing is just some mail. You have no idea what this thing can do. Right? But if you read the manual, say, wow, it can do this. Oh, it can do so many things. So, therefore, the scriptures are important. We can see that there are books on the corners of the yajna. That's very nice, because Srila Prabhupada desired that. He used to do that. It is said that actually in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada would chant on the beats during the yajna, and quite slow, 11 minutes per round. Yeah? So if there were like 10 initiates, well, you know, count your time for the initiation. Since it's a packed out Saturday, we decided not to do it like that. So they already chanted on. But Prabhupada also had the four brahmanas who were reading from the Bhagavad Gita, the Nectar of Devotion, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And these are the four main literatures that we are reading. They are the sum and substance of our spiritual life. Everything is there. So that's very nice. Because, you know, the vows are strict. And they are especially strict because the rest of the world is not following them. If everyone was following the same vows, it would be much easier. But because wherever we go, people are not following these vows. Either in work, or in family, or just in general, walking downtown, or just going shopping, we're constantly confronted with the fact that we are following principles that the world is not following. And advertisement is telling us that all kinds of rubbish is the best there is. And in this way, our conviction is being attacked. It's actually, we're under pressure. So we need to reinforce it. We gotta just think, well, I'm making a decision at the time of initiation, and that will do. No, I'm giving my word. That's nice. But how to keep our word? And our words will be tested in time. And there will be situations where it will be difficult, and where our feelings tell us that I just can't do it, or where, yeah, suddenly some passion, some strong desires take over, and so what to do? So then what we require to uphold these vows is support. Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning, in spiritual life, we are quite enthusiastic. We come to this movement, and it's all new, and we really want it. You know, we really want it. We just felt tired of our old life, and we're so happy that now we found this, and we just have all this energy. And then, you know, but you have to do things to maintain it, even from the beginning. Right? You know that if you don't get up early, you know, if you don't chant your rounds, you know, if you don't go to the temple, you know, if you don't take Krishna Prasad and all these things, you're not going to make it. That you know. It's the same time of life with Maya. But then, you would think that with time, it becomes easier. You think, you know, I've become expert now. At the beginning I was a little new to bhakti, but now after time I become very experienced and expert. And you think it become easier? It's not like that. With time, we have to do more. We have to do more than we did before. Second initiation is that time. We'll have to do more now. More. Oh my God. Yeah. Even more? But how can we? Yeah, now is the time to read more. Otherwise, it's not possible. Now is the time to say, well, it's an Ekadasi. Why not chant those extra rounds? I remember one initiation ceremony which was really interesting. We were in the Czech Republic, and there were many spiritual masters giving initiations, so many devotees, and they all came forward, and basically it was all the same. What are the regulated principles, and how many rounds, minimum 16, and so on. And then Loknath Maharaj had his turn, and he's asking different candidates. And the first candidate comes up, and he says, and how many rounds, minimum 16. Then the next one, how many rounds, minimum 16. And then the third candidate of Loknath Maharaj, one Matadis, he comes forward. And then Maharaj says, so, how many rounds are you promising to chant? She says, minimum 16. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he says, and what about Ekadasi? And she looks at him, and is like, you're not going to ask me, are you? She doesn't say it, but it's all over her face, right? Her face is like shock, you know, like, but you didn't ask anybody else, you're not going to ask me, are you? So again he says, and how many on Ekadasi? Says, he says, 25? And he says, yes, that's right. And it was amazing, because everyone that day got initiated at a minimum of 16 rounds, yeah? Knowing that, you know, it's recommended to chant 25 on Ekadasi, but not obliged. But that one lady, she was obliged, she promised it that day. And that was something very interesting. First of all, how the spiritual master just has that license to decide. And there you are. And that he may decide a little different for one disciple. There you go. Yeah. I remember that Gaur Govinda Maharaj told one devotee came, can I have deities of Radha Krishna? Long-standing devotees, yes, I'll get all the blessings. And he said, yes, by all means, yes, you must worship Radha Krishna, yes, you must. You know, I'm very happy, you know. And then he says, yes, and you must do 7 RTs a day. And as a gangster, 7 RTs a day, you know, at all. It's like, you know, try it. But he's doing. And of course, these are personal instructions, right? But such personal instructions are sometimes very strong, but they are also great jewels. It is said the instructions of the spiritual master are like sirumani. They are like jewels that we wear on the head. Sir means head. Yes, and mani means jewel. So the instructions of the spiritual master are sirumani, jewels that we wear on the head, great treasures. So, and they may be individual, and they may be a little different also, according to our nature, and as the spiritual master is seeing our nature, he may give us an instruction. Sometimes the spiritual master is not giving us any special instruction, and his instruction is just from, just follow Bhagavad Gita, something like that, and Bhagavatam. You think, like, what do I have a spiritual master for? Eh? I could have just done that by myself. Right? I could have just read Bhagavad Gita and read Srimad Bhagavatam, and everything, if anyway, taking it all from there. The first thing that is always there is the blessings of the spiritual master. There is the Shastric example of the way that the birds take care of their young, and we know the birds are constantly flying in and out with supplies, right? And these little birds that mouth open, tweet, asking for more, and then just these two adult birds are flying constantly, feeding the little birds. Then there is the fish. The fish is taking care of its offspring. By the fish keeps an eye, and fish have big eyes. So fish keeps an eye on what is going on. Okay, the next phone that goes off is mine. And yesterday I gave it back, but today I don't. So anyone who wants to donate a phone, turn it on now. So please check your cell phones and make sure they're on. Make sure they're on so that I can collect some money for the African preaching. That would be very good. And I'll keep it, I promise you. I will not give it back. So, I was talking about the bird, the fish, the bird by feeding its young, the fish by supervising, but otherwise not interfering. And The tortoise by meditation. Yeah. Tortoise places its eggs on the beach, and then by meditation is simply taking care of its young. So in this way, it is that the spiritual master may deal in different ways at different times, sometimes giving us a lot of attention, sometimes sort of supervising, and sometimes only meditating. That we should know, even when the spiritual master is on the other side of the planet, which in our relationship can happen, and then we should know that his meditation is there, his blessings are there, his prayer to Krishna is there, is always there with us. So he's always praying to Krishna for us. Yes, Krishna, please bestow your blessings on this disciple. So in that way, he is always our well-wisher, even if he is not communicating directly with us. He is our well-wisher that we should understand and remember. Anyway, I was speaking about the vows and how the vows need support. And with time, more and more, we need to become more absorbed, increasingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness to carry on. Otherwise, with time, we become spiritually weak. Then we see that devotee who was initially so strong, so enthusiastic, now is becoming weak. After all these years, how is it possible? We must increase. Of course, you know, there is a point where time-wise you cannot increase anymore, but then we must increase in the quality. That must be there. That must be done. And we know that the nectar of devotion is like a blueprint of devotional service. And that in the nectar of devotion we clearly see what we should do. Therefore, in our Bhakti Shastri course, we are studying these first 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion. And I'm teaching that every year, except this year I won't be able to do it. But usually I'm teaching that once a year. And it's really nice to once a year just study these 19 chapters. Now, I've done that for 6 or 7 years in a row. Even more, maybe. Yeah, much more. Yeah, 2004 I already did it. Yeah. Must be like 8 years. So 8 years I've been teaching that. And just by 8 years, teaching it again and again, sort of really drilled these 19 chapters into my consciousness, because the teacher studies more than the student. Okay. So, my request is that you please study these chapters, all of you, whether you are first or second, doesn't matter. Because these chapters are like a map, a blueprint of spiritual life. It's basically all there. Everything is there. What you have to do is all there. Just do all those things in the 19 chapters, right? And everything will be fine. And of course, it is emphasizing a particular 5 aspects of bhakti, which is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Sramana, Maturavas, residing in Vrindavan. It is said if one cannot physically reside in Vrindavan, then one should at least mentally reside there. One should understand that wherever we are in the world, whether it's the place of our birth or not, that we are only tourists in that place. Many tourists in Mauritius. Yes. So we are only tourists. Our home is Vrindavan, and we should always think like that. This is my home. This is where I actually belong. And we should think of it like that. And in other places, I'm just a temporary visitor. Temporary resident. That's how one should think. Yes. So in this way, a devotee is always meditating, hearing about Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami explains like that in his that by hearing and chanting and remembering the pastimes of Krishna, we are always residing in Vrindavan. So that is Mathuravas. And then it is said that we must worship the deity. We must worship the deity of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that very much. He said we should have, we have the Bhagavad Vidhi, that means the chanting and the way of the Bhagavatam. Reading Bhagavatam and Shastra and chanting is Bhagavad Vidhi. And then we have Pancharatriki Vidhi. Pancharatriki Vidhi is the rules and regulations of deity worship. So the initiations are actually part of Pancharatriki Vidhi. See, according to the Bhagavad Vidhi, you don't need initiation. But the initiation is very strong, because you can't really walk away from it. You can, of course, ignore these vows. And there are plenty of devotees who have done that. But I tell you, these vows, they will not go away. Right? If you take them today, and then you must know that they will stay. They will not go away, no matter, even if you don't want them anymore. Even if one day you think, I can't do this anymore. It's just, I have changed. No. If we stop, if we follow these vows, they will produce very wonderful fruits. Right? If we don't follow the vows, they will be like a stick that will beat our heart. We will always be guilty if we don't follow them. Always. We'll never have peace. So it's a big thing to take the vow. I have to follow. Yes. So, in the second initiation, we are receiving the Gayatri Mantra. And the Gayatri Mantra is there are several Gayatri Mantras that are being chanted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And these Gayatri Mantras are all increasing our remembrance of Krishna. It said, Sravanam Kirtanam Smaranam, and hearing, chanting, and remembering. So within the chanting of the Gayatri, there is this Sravanam Kirtanam Smaranam is part of the Bhagavad Vidhi, or the path of the Bhagavad. So the remembering aspect, the meditation, that we have a deeper meditation on Krishna. We actually begin to remember Krishna more. That becomes our objective. And then there is the pancharatrik element of initiations. So many rules. Yes, this must be followed, that must be followed. We remember that first initiation Prabhupada wrote down for the newly initiated devotees the next day after they were initiated on a piece of paper. And all initiated devotees must follow four regulative principles. They didn't know. They got initiated, they didn't know that they had to follow these principles for life. We know. We had a time to prepare. We sort of mentally got ready for it. But they didn't. The next morning it was on a paper hanging on the wall. All initiates must follow four regulative principles. No meat, fish, eggs, no getting intoxication, and so on. And no frivolous sports. Whatever that is. Quite something. Quite something. So, but we also live with these principles. So we must make them meaningful by filling our life with the various devotional activities which are listed in these first 19 chapters, in chapter 6 to 14 of the Nectar of Devotion as Sadhana Bhakti. That should be our focus, these activities. And I mentioned 5 are the most important, and I didn't finish them all. I said the Bhagavad, Mathura, residing in Vrindavan. I said worshipping the deity and associating with devotees. Associating with devotees is, of course, inspiring, because there where there are devotees, there's prasadam, there are temples, there's discussion of scriptures, there's all these things, right? There is inspiration. But that's not everything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story about Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit is describing how, at that time, Vallabhacharya was there, and he had his own commentary on the Bhagavatam, and he was disagreeing with Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is accepted by all Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas. Even the impersonalists are accepting Sridhar Swami as the authorized commentator of the Bhagavatam. Everyone claims him. The impersonalists say he's ours. We say, no, he is ours. Yeah. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu authorized Sridhar Swami. And Vallabha Acharya had a commentary that disagreed with Sridhar Swami. So he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear it. So then nobody wanted to hear it. Yeah. But Gadadhar was very soft by nature, a very soft person, the kind of person who, you know, when you approach him, when someone with a very strong character approaches him with a lot of power, what can I do? That kind of person. So Vallabhacharya could see that he was such a person. So he approached him, and he was ready to overpower him. And he overpowered him and started reciting his commentary. And Gadadhar was there praying, oh no, oh no, oh no. I really don't want to hear it, you know, no, but what can I do? And he's doing it, so what can I do? Kind of thing. And he was thinking, Lord Chaitanya will understand, because he knows my heart. He said, but the devotees, he said, the devotees are very strict, you know. The devotees will condemn me. They will condemn me for it. So, in that narration, it brings up some element of being with devotees, that devotees are inspiring, devotees are nice and so on, but devotees are also strict. And sometimes devotees may have opinions about us, and it may not even be true. It may not even be right. And especially when it's not true, then we feel disheartened. We feel, oh, how can they think about me like this? How can they treat me like that? And there are many people who have left this movement. And if you go to them and ask them why, they say, I got mistreated by the devotees. And maybe they were. Maybe some were not so much mistreated. Maybe their toes were too long. Yeah? Some people have very long toes. You know? Slightest little thing, they step on their toe. Oh, how can you do this to me? Come on, you know. Just don't be so soft. We deserve much worse. But many have left because they felt mistreated in the assembly of the devotees. That also can happen. Then, still we need the association of the devotees. Still we should stay. Still we should worship them. Still we should bow down to them. Still we should be humble. So this is a test, not easy. We must always stay in the association of devotees, where whatever they do, Whether they're nice to us or not, we stay. We're not going. If they throw us out the temple, we'll start sweeping in front of the gate. Get a broom and sweep in front of the gate until they let you back in. We don't go. Nothing, you know. If they don't allow us to sweep the street here, then we'll sweep the street on the other side, you know. But we will go on. No, we will not go for no reason. For no reason. There is no reason to go away from the association of devotees ever. And then finally, of course, the most important of all the processes of devotional service is chanting Hare Krishna. So this chanting of Hare Krishna must be done nicely, attentively. Srila Prabhupada said, attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting. So this is, you know, to control the mind is very difficult. And when I heard this for the first time, attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting, I realized that here I'm getting a very important instruction. Because until then, I thought attentive chanting meant I had to control the mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind going here and there and everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. So, no. If simply we hear ourselves chanting, then the mind is controlled. So simple. Suddenly it becomes simple to control the mind. Clearly. Like that. So we are happy that that Srila Prabhupada made everything simple for us. Something that we can do. And in that way, we should not think it's too difficult. It's not, because we are protected. Time is flying, but still, we cannot just let time completely control us at such an important moment. We have to say what has to be said. So quickly, 10 offenses. First offense, blaspheme the devotees. Obviously, we have to avoid it, to find fault in the devotees, glorify them. Second offense, consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Rama, to equal independent to the name of Lord Vishnu. We remember Hiranyakasipu asked for immortality from Brahma. And Brahma said, I cannot give you what I don't have. Therefore, only Vishnu can give liberation. Only Vishnu can give us liberation from birth and death. And only Krishna can give us love of God. So that we should remember, therefore, what is the point of worshipping the demigods? We see that our acharyas have all pointed that out again. And we see that Krishna is saying that karma is taisteri tegyana prapanjananti anyadehuta. He says that maya paritegyana, he says, those who worship the demigods, their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Because they want temporary things. Dhanam dehi rupavati deham rupavariyam dehi. So like they are wanting to want benefits for this temporary existence. We are not interested. We want to go back to Godhead. So we worship Krishna. Kechit kevalaya vasudeva parayana. Only kechit keva janta. Keva means only Vasudeva Parayana, only to be absorbed in service of Vasudeva. That is our business. So it's a higher platform, it's the Vaishnava platform that the great acharyas followed in the past. And now we also are following. It is what Bhagavatam is describing. That's 5,000 years old. We should not think just because in India they don't know all these rituals. We should understand that long ago in India, many people misunderstood the Vedas. And that for thousands of years there have been many practices in India that are incorrect. It's not only that nowadays, since every Brahmana has become a computer programmer, that Vedic knowledge is getting lost. No, actually in the past, already so many things were misunderstood. That is the case. Therefore, we should know that this Vaishnava path is traditional, and therefore we must follow it with our heart. For the fans blaspheme the Vedic literature and pursuance of the Vedic version. We respect all Vedic literature, but we know that there are categories. Trigunya Visya Veda, there are Vedic literature that are within the three gunas, that are materialistic. Jyotir Shastra, Artha Shastra, Dana Shastra, all Ayurveda, all material sciences. We respect those scriptures also. We respect them. But they're not so important. The Vastu and this, that. Like, there is a tree, and it's in the wrong place in front of your house, according to the Vastu. What are you going to do? Cut that tree. But it's sinful for a Vaishnava to cut a tree. So what do you do? Leave the tree or cut the tree? Leave it. Because Vaishnava is merciful. And that is more important than the Vastu. More important to be merciful. One Vastu expert came to Mayapur and said, the Vastu of this place is very good. There's only one thing wrong, that river. It's like, you know. They sent him home. So, anyway, all respect to the Vastu also. We respect that. But transcendental is more important. Krishna. Fifth offense is to think that the glories of Chennai and Krishna are imagination. So it's important to remember. It works. Just keep on chanting. It works. It works. Sixth is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. No need for a big explanation. The name Krishna is Yasoda Nandanandan, the son of Nanda Yasoda. But what more do we need to know? That's it, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't accept many explanations of the mantra. I only know him as Yasoda Nandanandan. That's enough. So what I'm saying is directly, again, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seven offense to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. You think, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, now I can do anything, I'm protected. No. The mantra is not an automatic thing. The mantra is Krishna himself, and it invokes Krishna's mercy. And if we chant the mantra and are acting sinful, Krishna will withdraw his mercy, and you can chant and chant as much as you like, and no benefit. Because Krishna's not giving it. We chant the mantra, Krishna is pleased, then he gives us the benefit. So we must be careful to, maybe sometimes by mistake, a Vaishnava commits a sinful activity. And Prabhupada said, okay, that can be overlooked. But then he said, but don't do it again. Then after some time, again, mistake, you know. And Prabhupada said, yes, three times you will forgive. Mistake. If you do it four times, again, you rascal. Then we are rascal. Yeah. So we have to really try to avoid making mistakes. Eighth offense, consider chanting Hare Krishna as one of your auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities of karma. So, karmakanda are basically rituals which improve the material conditions of life. So, we should not think that I'm doing all this devotional service and how now can all this misfortune happen to me and my family? How is it possible? We are doing everything for Krishna. Everything. And how can this thing happen in our family? You've given your whole life to Krishna. No, it's not karma kanda. Material life, according to our karma, some diminished reactions will come. Krishna may interfere, may not interfere. But we make spiritual advancement. Therefore, we should not think, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and this will fix my life. No. This will improve my life. Not necessarily. Ninth offense, instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. We can preach about chanting Hare Krishna, we can preach the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but not more intimate knowledge of Krishna's pastimes, especially Vrindavan pastimes. We don't share with new people. And tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after receiving so many instructions in this matter. It's like on the fast day, it was a Niranjali Ekadasi and a complete fast, and one person went to take bath in the river, and underwater he was drinking. No one could see, but secretly he was doing. Yes. So if we secretly maintain all kinds of material things, a little music, a little this, a little that, you know. Then we strengthen our material desires. I compare them to pets, you know, and if you feed the pet will become thick and fat. Yeah? So that's what will happen to our material desires. So I have to be careful with that. We have to be strict in our own spiritual life. We can be liberal with others. With conditioned souls, we can be liberal. But with ourselves, strictness is required. Okay. So, and inattentive chanting is also an offense. So those are the offenses to be avoided. Later on, when I give the Gayatri mantras to the second initiates, I will tell them something more about second initiation privately. Second initiation, it's the one thing I'll say here and now before everyone, is not just about studying. There is yajan yajan patan patan dana pratigraha, or engaging in sacrifice and engaging others in sacrifice. Studying the scriptures, teaching the scriptures, and receiving in charity and passing it on to the proper. To a proper cause. That is Brahman. Fine. But it's not only about studying scripture and so on. Really, it is about a mentality. And therefore, sometimes we give second initiation to those who are not so learned. The mentality is the mentality to be responsible. It's about that. It is about being responsible. It is about having a sense of duty. It is about acting according to prescribed duty. So, if someone has a real mentality of taking responsibility, and such a person can receive second initiation, even if they're not so learned, and if they become learned after, because we know that their inclination is to follow the prescribed duty. So that is the essence of the second initiation, is to always act responsible, to always be an example, 24 hours a day. Good luck. It is very difficult. We fall short, but we keep on trying. We keep on trying to improve. Alright, so we have come to the point of taking vows. Sometimes I say that, you know, this initiation lecture, it goes on and on and on, and the candidate for initiation is sitting in a little boat on the shore of an ocean, and then suddenly comes the time that we call you forward and ask you to take the vows, and then we give that boat a big push. And then you're all out there by yourself on the waves. With all the good advice and the waves of the pre-mortal material nature will rock your little boat. And the spiritual master will only come sometimes to see how you're sailing. Otherwise, you seem to be rowing alone. Anyway, if you go off course, I'll put you back on track. Okay, the oldest one first, Arjun. Please. For Aye. Take it. Ya para Aye, Mataji. Ya para Sande. Pranam kama para Aye. Nini, per ustara. Per ustara. Per. Ja, per pranam kama para Aye, Mataji. Per ustara. Per vivata.
Sorry.
Anand ji, koi baat nahi. Pura mantra bata dijiye, mantra janta. Aap mere pranam mantra janta. Theek hai, main de dunga. Tum aap bhi seekh lo. Tola, nasti kare. ठीक है तो चांदी नियम क्या है?
चांदी जुआनी करना रिपीटिंग में मांस मछली नहीं खाना और जुआनी खेलना और ड्रग्स नहीं खाना और परिस्त्री का संग
सिर्फ ड्रग्स नहीं
इंटॉक्सिकेशन
हाँ मतलब चाय भी नहीं चाय गरम चाय नहीं
पानी सुपारी भी नहीं खाना
ठीक
और शराब भी नहीं पीना कोई सा भी नशा नहीं करना
हाँ हाँ सही लहसुन और प्याज भी नहीं
नहीं
बीमाना है सही ठीक है और रोज तो कितना माला तो हो जाए
16 माला
और ज्यादा भी हो जाएगी
एकादशी पे ज्यादा
ठीक है बस सोलह तो आपका कर्तव्य
एक ही राउंड एकादशी
ठीक है आपका कर्तव्य तो 16 है और ज्यादा आपका इच्छा है मेरा भी लेकिन तो आप तो अभी तो आपका व्रत में तो सिर्फ 16 माना ठीक है तो उस दिन से आपके सपना होगा मानसी गंगा देवीदास मानसी गंगा देवीदास हरे कृष्ण How can you change a name like Krishna? This is tough. Change the name because Srila Prabhupada writes in his purports to the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if at the time of initiation the name is not changed, that the person stays in the bodily concept of life. So, but we don't want it. So I have to change it. But first, you have to tell me what are the four regulated principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life.
No meat eating, including fish and egg. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling.
Yes. And how many rounds do you promise to chant every day?
Minimum 16 rounds.
Good. Oh. stay on, you will be known as
Krishna Kali.
Krishna Kali. So Kali, Krishna, and of course Krishna Kali means his playful pastimes. So to remember Krishna and his playful pastimes, it's nice, nice meditation. A name is more than just a name. These are spiritual names, and the name becomes a meditation, somehow or other. And like my name, you know, somehow or other they mixed up my first name with my last name, because my last name starts with a K, my first name with a P, so I was expecting something like Prahlad or something. I was ready for any Prahlad variety, or, you know, something like that. And suddenly, out of nowhere, came this Kadamba Kanna. But later, it began a meditation. I started to think about Vrindavan, because it means the forest of Kadambas in Vrindavan. So, Krishna Kali also is Vrindavan pastimes. So, you can meditate on those. Then one day you will be there. And Manasi Ganga is also in Vrindavan, because just at the site of Govardhan, the Ganga has manifested in the form of Manasi Ganga. So when you go on pilgrimage to Vrindavan, you're supposed to start your Govardhan Parikrama at Manasi Ganga. That's actually the official beginning, because we are not so. But if you want to do it right, you start there. And you should definitely do it right. You go there and start at Manasi Ganga, then Parikrama, Pura, Giriratka, Tiki. Then we turn it over to